Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. A special session with Old 97s today for a couple of reasons. First of all, the band, Rhett Miller, Murray Hammond, Ken Bethea, and Philip Peoples have been together a little over 20 years and have a new album called Most Messed Up, which is reason enough to celebrate. Also, physically, this is a most unusual session. Due to a power outage and the limited output of our backup generator, the band and the audience for this session were crammed into our studio, crammed together, standing up with no air conditioning. From the results, we may be doing this a lot. Old 97 started off with the song that begins Most Messed Up, Longer Than You've Been Alive.
We've been doing this longer than you've been alive. Propelled by some mysterious drive. And they still let me do it as weird as that seems. And I do it most nights and then again in my dreams. Infinite hallways and giant hotels. Dressing room looks about as good as it smells. Bottles of whiskey, bottles of beer. There's a bottle of medicine somewhere around here. We've been in nightclubs and we've been in bars. Honky-tonks and theaters from Memphis to Mars. Most of our shows were a triumph of rock, although some nights I might have been checking the clock. I'm only human, though I'm super at time. I jumped off the risers I should not have climbed. Rock jumps won't kill you till one of them does. Or they'll say he died doing what he loves. Got our share of loving in our past, although we were all looking for someone who left. Well, it must be hard to get partnered with me. Some narcissism, some OCD. Oh, but love that comes easy is a fake or a fluke. Love is a marathon, sometimes you puke. Speaking of which, there has been alcohol. Oceans and oceans, but that isn't all. Mountains and a handful of pills, but none of the hard stuff that stuff kills. We've been doing it longer than you've been alive. 20 good years of about 25. Rock and roll's been very, very good for me. The open road's the only place I wanna be. Rock and roll's been very, very good to me. Yeah, the open road's the only place I wanna be. Now I'm not crazy about songs that get self-referential. Oh, and most of this stuff should be kept confidential. Oh, but who even gives half a care anymore? Well, you should know the truth, it's both a blast and a bore. Rock stars were once such mythical creatures, up there with presidents, playmates, and preachers. Now you just do it cause it's what you do. They throw underwear instead of money at you. And I made a living out of shaking my ass. And if you offer me an office, I'd have to pass. But our jobs are all jobs and sometimes they suck. I love what I do and I've had pretty good luck. Yeah, the fans are all clapping, screaming and squealing. And I won't lie to you, that's a pretty sweet feeling. And I might butt heads with the guys in my band. but I never once went to work with a man. Oh, but the men and the women like you, him and her, we're sharing this night that'll soon be a blur. We've been doing it longer than you've been alive, so get on the bus. Tell the driver to drive. Rock and roll's been very good to me. The open road's the only place I wanna be. Rock and roll's been very good to me. Yeah, the open road's the only place I wanna be. Rock and roll's been very good to me. Yeah, the open road's the only place I wanna be. I said, the open road's the only place I wanna be.
There you go, old 97s, a couple tunes from Most Messed Up, as we are live in the World Cafe studio. I mean, really live and standing up and no air conditioning and all kinds of things. And I should tell our radio audience that the people are following along in the lyrics, particularly on Longer Than You've Been Alive. Someone actually at the proper moment threw some underwear at you.
Yes.
So has that been happening a lot already?
It's the first underwear. We just started playing this song live for people, and I played it by myself at this sort of secret gig in L.A., and a bunch of my friends ran up and threw underwear. And the only bad thing about that was half of them were girls, but the other half were dudes, boxers.
So 20 years on, you're making this record, and it's kind of like you're channeling your teenage selves on this record. Tell me about what the thoughts were.
Man, I don't know. I think there's something that happens when you hit a certain point, at least for me, when you hit a certain point in your career where you kind of own it in a way that you had never owned it before. You know, I think a lot of people that do what we do for a living, you worry all the time about, you know, how am I doing? What's next? There's always a level above you that you wish you could get to. But something clicked for me where I just sort of stopped worrying about it. Like, I'm really proud of what we've done. I'm proud of our catalog, and I don't feel like I have to worry about it or apologize for anything. You know, I'm happy to be where I am. And I think part of that is liberating, and it makes it okay to just step up and say, you know what, I'm going to sing about this crazy life, because I don't know anybody that's got this perspective. Well, I know a few people. Tommy Stinson, who's on this record, he was a rock star since he was 12.
Right. And how old were you when you guys started?
Started playing guitar at 12, wrote my first song at 13, did my first gig opening for Murray's band when I was 15.
Wow.
And that was about 7 years ago.
Well, okay, you kind of tell all in Longer Than You've Been Alive, but I think there's some things you haven't told us, so I'm going to ask you some questions. It's for everybody in the band about touring, et cetera. Well, let's start with the easy ones. What surprising things would we find backstage at an old 97 show?
Board games. Well, I honestly think one of the reasons our band has survived for as long as we have is that we avoided the pitfalls of the harder drugs, and we, you know, we haven't lived...
Those wouldn't be surprising.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're right.
You know, I remember they asked Joe Strummer one time if he talked about smoking pot to his kids, and he said, no, they're kids. They don't know the difference between that and the really bad stuff. So I'm not saying that any of it's good, but I'm saying in moderation, one can survive a lot of stuff. But for us, we figured out that if we play board games and do things like that where we, you know, kind of use our brains a little, sometimes this career, this profession gets a little anti-intellectual.
Murray's making a face. Is he accurate?
Yeah, he's accurate. Okay. Hardest thing I got backstage is Red Bull. I like those good punk rock energy drinks.
Who
better than liquor?
Who in the band takes longer to get ready for a gig?
Philip.
Rhett.
Easily.
All right.
Well, I'm making the set list, Ken. If you want to start making the set list, then we'll see who takes
that. That would last about 2 minutes. You're not doing it right. Give me that.
They're knocking heads already. All right, pre-gig rituals or superstitions?
Well, I figured out over the years that I'm not allowed to have any beer before 2 hours before the gig, and I'm allowed to have a little bit of whiskey within 1 hour of the gig.
What about Colorado?
Don't bring that up. There are exceptions to every rule.
What's the line there? 2 hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Three. Yeah, I go on stage starving. I skip all the meals up until gig time.
And then
plow into it.
12 o'clock in the
eat whatever's
midnight,
left over backstage.
Full tray of lasagna while he
like
cries.
A hobo back there. You're going to eat that?
What was the last band injury?
I blew up my finger playing baseball, actually at this shirt I'm wearing, at a baseball camp. Exploded this finger, fingernail flew off, catching a line drive, and in 2 weeks I went on tour, and it was just, luckily this is the only finger I don't use on stage.
It looked pretty nasty.
Actually, yeah. I had one more recent than that when we were doing pre-production on this record, and Tommy Stinson texted me, Guns N' Roses is playing in House of Blues in Dallas. And so I went out and saw Guns N' Roses, which was crazy, and then afterwards I tried to keep up with Tommy till about 5 a.m, and got back to my hotel, and I thought the bed was one place, and it was another place. And I went to sit down and broke my elbow. But I had to call Tommy from the emergency room and say, dude, my elbow's broken because of you, so you got to come play rhythm guitar in the pre-production. And he did, and it sounded so good. That's why he wound up on this record.
This is kind of a blanket one. The craziest tour experience that you can remember.
Ken, you're good to remember this stuff.
Craziest. You know what? I don't know if this is crazy, but this is fun. Another Boston thing. We played a show at TT's
and
Boston one time. It was really snowing outside, and we had been invited to a party afterward. And so we went to this party, and there was nowhere to park. So we squished our van in this little tiny one little space. When we came back out, another car had one of them left and parked closer, and we couldn't get the van out.
There was
eight of us in there, a little bitty Volkswagen. So for kicks, we got out. And just to see if we could do it, we picked the car up and moved it onto the sidewalk. Everyone was in a a euphoric frenzy
we
over this about how badass we were. And there was another little car across the street, and we went over there and did it to it, too.
You know, I met the girl whose car it was that we moved.
She showed up. She's like, hey,
she kept showing up, scolding us for. Like,
yeah, you've been dining out on that story for years. I don't want to hear
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So, Rhett, you recently put a picture out on Twitter of you standing on a yacht and saying, "I love my life." What are any like really outrageous gigs like that?
Well, that was a fun one. That was Rainn Wilson from The Office, formerly, I guess, of The Office. Is a fan and has become a friend, and he asked us if we would come play his wife's birthday party, and so we went out on a yacht in the around the marina there in L.A., and that was pretty
sick. Wow, that's pretty cool.
That was pretty nice. I think we were a lot louder than they expected, though. We were out of place on that yacht. I'll tell you that.
What was the biggest like old 97 show, not a festival, but.
Well, Red Rocks was a gig. It wasn't a festival.
100,000 people in Brazil, right?
Brazil, yeah.
I don't know.
I did a solo
gig in Japan at the Fuji Rocks. Oh, that was a festival, too. Half a million people.
What about
a
senior release show?
Yeah, that Red Rocks gig. But that was so star-crossed because we were supposed to play this Red Rocks gig with Lucinda. And U.S. Airways, or I shouldn't say whatever, this terrible airline, circled Denver. And I'm looking at my watch going, oh, the band is taking the stage right now. And the promoters, the show was getting run so tight, they wouldn't let the band.
You're burying the lead, dude. We had to play as a three-piece without him for 7 songs at Red Rocks. Yeah. It was horrifying.
Boy, my job security went way up.
I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah. You want to hear Murray's songs, that's the gig.
That was the gig. That was the Red Rocks, 18,000 people.
When Rhett's not there, we like to do a little band called the West Texas Teardrops, and the Teardrops had their biggest gig that night.
Well, the West Texas Teardrops plus Rhett Miller are here tonight, Old 97s, and they've got a new album called Most Messed Up, and what do you want to play from it next?
This is the ballad, which ironically is not a ballad at all.
This is the ballad of drinking rye whiskey, sleeping till 2 on a warm afternoon, telling your journal how badly you miss me. I'll be coming so soon. This is the ballad of anticipation, waiting and waiting and waiting, and then finally getting the one you've been wanting. And guess what? Time to start waiting again. This is the ballad we all must sing while we wait to find out what tomorrow will bring. Yeah! Conversations heavy with silence and shuddering breaths. You self-destruct and your voice is all shaken. My reservations are all I have left. This is the ballad of trying to grow flowers so life will seem like it has meaning and stuff. Finding out all of those beautiful flowers will never be anywhere close to enough. This is the ballad we all must sing while we wait to find out what tomorrow will bring. While we wait to find out what tomorrow will bring. This is the ballad of drinking rye whiskey distilled in a barn. Burned down and round it, I find myself saying what I should be thinking. You figure it's flawless, I'm so glad I found it. This is the ballad we all must sing while we wait to find out what tomorrow will bring. While we wait to find out what tomorrow will bring. I can't wait to find out what tomorrow will bring.
Oh, Old 97's live today in Club World Cafe, doing a set for us. And we've got more questions about the road, et cetera. What song do you think you have played the most of your entire repertoire?
Probably Time Bomb, because we close with it every single night. There's no show that doesn't feature Time Bomb.
Big Brown Eyes, maybe, because it came one album before.
Well,
so maybe.
Me personally, Question, because I do that every solo song. We do it most 97 songs.
I wanted to ask about Question. How many times, if people don't know Question, it's a popping the question song. And how many times have you done that when somebody was proposing at a gig?
Well, man, you know, we used to field a lot of requests, and we would accommodate people where, you know, sometimes they'd get up on stage and propose, and then sometimes we'd cycle through the chord progression while out in the audience. People got all quiet, and the guy got down on one knee. And at a certain point, it got crazy. I remember one night at the Vic in Chicago, and I had personally, through social media, fielded 8 requests for proposals for that one show. And I just told everybody, look, you know, we'll play the beginning for a while, and if you can muster up the courage, you know, best luck to you. But I got scared that a girl would say no, or that it would be some sort of prank. Like, I just, you know, and to stop down a rock show, you know, even for something as sweet and emotionally touching or whatever. But I remember that night at the end of the song at the Vic in Chicago, I said, okay, by a show of hands, how many people just got engaged? And it was like 12 couples. And I felt like the Reverend Sun Young Moon.
Yeah.
It became a lot of people. Nowadays, they just kind of write us and tell us it happened at the gig.
Which is really nice. Sweet. I mean, when you write a song, you hope that it's useful. And I think of all the songs I've written, there's none more useful than that song.
Absolutely. You mean, why don't we get drunk and get it on? It's not useful.
Well, let's see.
This kind of goes back to van touring days. What was the music you guys could agree on?
Johnny Cash, The Clash.
Robbie Fulks. So there's a lot of Robbie Fulks, I remember, for a while.
X.
Don Walser and X, yeah.
And some music that divided you?
Rush.
Grandpa Jones.
Rush fans. No. Right back here, the Rush fans.
I don't know. You know, I played Grandpa Jones constantly for 2 years, and I don't think everybody dug that.
No, we didn't like it.
Well, how many songs about dead dogs can we listen to?
They're not dead dogs. They're hunting coons. How can they hunt raccoons when they're dead? See, I bet it improved Grandpa Jones in your eyes by me.
Well, Rush fans are going, and Grandpa Jones fans are going, raising their hands. All right, we're going to hear some more from Most Messed Up as Old 97s are playing in the steam bath today in the cafe.
And David, I got to say, I love getting interviewed by you, and this is sort of a weird one. I've never had one like this with you, but we've been doing this, us and you, together.
Long time. Did we start with...
The Old Place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We did two or three.
Which album? Did we go all the way back to Too Far to Care? Or?
No, I think...
Too Far to Care. No, we did that.
We did Too Far to Care?
Yep.
Yeah. So... We're looking at 15 years of friendship.
That's
there.
Good. That's good.
But thank you for doing it. You're doing
I'm
God's work
you're back.
Here.
All right.
We'll be right back.
I'm not down with the uptight world. Never gonna be no square. Yeah, I'll circle around the edge of the big black void, but I don't wanna live down there.
Thanks to the Old 97s.
Thanks, everybody.
And to our special producers today.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.